Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-hosts Felicity Sidnell-Reed and Chris Cameron, and a host of memories as we celebrate our 7th year of Word on the Hills and look ahead into our plans for 2020. Over this last year, and indeed the years before that, we hope you've enjoyed our visits with local authors and others involved with writers and readers, and have found our guests and their work as interesting as we have. So today we're talking a little about our own writing and related activities, looking back to some of our favourite guests over the past year, and talking about the future of Word on the Hills and how it could change in the next few years. So let's begin with you, Felicity. What are you up to these days?
Well, now that the 2019 festival is over and my last prolonged literary task, editing Hill Spirits 4, in which you were both involved too, is over, I'm trying to write more poetry, guest posts for the Reading Apes blog, which I enjoy doing as he has an international readership and publishes an eclectic collection of articles, and also I'm making outlines for possible stories that I'd like to write. It's hard, though, to return to the kind of routine which I have to follow if I want to make serious progress on a project, and it's all too easy to put off the hard work of beginning and then keep going. However, I do have some plans for 2020, one of which is to attend Writescape's Spring Thaw, Gwyn.
Well, that's good news for me.
And I'll have to get something written if I want to do that.
Well, and what about you, Chris? We just want to say that we are delighted that you have joined as our sound editor back in the fall and that now you are joining as a co-host as well. I don't know if our listeners know, but sound is your thing. After all, you are an ex-opera singer and hope you'll have fun as a co-host too. We certainly do. Tell us about yourself a little and what you're currently doing in the creative field.
It's a great opportunity for me to say hello to everybody because I've sort of been hovering around in the background for the last several months doing various tasks for Felicity and Gwyn, enjoying every minute, of course. It's funny because I'm so busy lately that if I'd come to Northumberland County looking for rest and relaxation, it wasn't going to be. It's just exactly 3 years ago that my wife and I bought our house on the banks of the Trent River south of Campbellford, and it's never stopped since we got here.
But it's fun, isn't it?
It is. I wouldn't give up a second of it. In fact, it's hard for me even to remember living the first 60-odd years of my life in Toronto. There was the Festival of the Arts that was presented by Spirit of the Hills, which was a huge thing, a huge undertaking for all of us. I also got to copy-edit the anthology of writing by Northumberland writers. I was taken into the fold of the West Bend Festival up in Campbellford. I've written and presented a couple of presentations in the Clock Tower, and in fact, the Chocolate Voices presentation we did last July, we're repeating again on February the 15th, which is Saturday, and we'll be repeating it again in the summertime. So obviously there's some popular demand. I don't know why, you know, an evening of chocolate, music, and wine. I can't figure out why anybody would want to do that. And of course, Word on the Hills, which are great challenges and great fun. So now that I've spilled all, it's time for me to ask you, Gwyn, what are you up to? Any plans for the coming year?
Of course. I've got many plans. I always do at this time of the year. Some of them will be fun things like traveling and hosting overseas family. And of course, I'm always heavily involved in my writing services partnership, Writescape, where we facilitate retreats and creative writing workshops and things of that nature. But on a personal creative level, I have made some definite plans. I mean, one of the reasons you are part of the team is because I wanted to step back a little to give myself some more creative time. And in that creative time, I hope to do several things. I want to finish my mystery novel, which is quite a way through now. I want to start pitching my children's novel, which is finished and ready to go. I want to get back to a novel that I abandoned a few years ago called Savannah Child. It won't go away. It keeps bubbling at the back of my brain. And so I'm going to give in and actually get back to it and get the thing done. The other thing I wanted to do, I was cleaning out my study, and I have two full shelves of journals from the last 20 years, and I have no idea what's in them. So I thought I'm going to have fun going through and picking out poems I wrote and maybe pieces of the book that I can use, and who knows what I might find in there. So that's another big ticket. But on the fun side, my husband is also creative. He's a cartoonist and a sculptor. The pair of us have been dabbling for a while too in visual art, but we always have to put down a ground sheet and pack it all away and all the rest of it. So we are going to splurge this year and we're going to build ourselves a studio.
Separate building on the property?
Separate building on the property. Nothing special, but just a place where we can make a mess and shut the door.
Shut the door and not have to have dinner over top of
exactly,
the open.
Exactly, exactly. Lots in the cards for me creatively this year. I just hope I can live up to my plans.
So, Gwen, did you bring us anything that you wrote that you'd like to read for us for the anniversary show?
I did. I wrote something very short, and I thought it was appropriate for the time of the year because it's called My Aquarius Friend. And it's all about a very strange pot that my very dear friend bought me from her travels. "You found it," you said, "at a roadside stall. It was so me," you said. "You had to buy it. Spiderweb and all." Strange vessel, lopsided yellow ochre clay with splashes of deep brick red and charcoal grey, rough shape with smooth edges, unglazed with a wide laughing smile, my Aquarius friend. I filled it and watched the water, just like you, slip through my fingers and run away.
Thank you, Gwen. That was beautiful.
So how about you, Felicity? Do you have a poem you can read for us?
Yes, I think I'll read you one called A Stench of Foxes, which I wrote for my sister. A Stench of Foxes, for my sister. Do you remember how when we were little, the sharp paint flakes fell from the rusty railings in the park? How we ran from the open hill, its mud scars beaded with a soft sea rain, our raincoats flapping sharply, as did the dark and heavy leaves of laurels and rhododendrons, which overhung the lower paths, dripping rain as dark as blood. The foxes drew us there, and there we ran, headlong down those walks, where an unsteady wind blew rain and a pungent smell in our faces. Crouching by the flimsy cage, we watched their staring red-rimmed eyes and flowing, twisting bodies. That perpetual motion and the snarl of sharp teeth seemed a desperate denial of the wire, and we sniffed with exultation the solid stench of defiance. It was the nearest view we got of blood in the streets, the closest we came to feeling the hot breath of a fanatic at our neck. Though bombs burst, ships sailed, and night by night fires stained the cloudy skies, but always several miles away. Now in my reveries the foxes turn and turn again, nosing their cages for a weakened wire. Conjured by dreams, I watch their foxy feet run freely, moonlit down the rhododendron paths. Jaunty in ordered her parkland, they cavort and run, till running they find the heavy railings rusted out. They snuff the town, the human dirt, the unknown trails they might explore. Here on the brink, what will they choose? The bushy vaults, or empty night, a coupled certainty and shared confinement? But wakened, I will never know. It's too late now to see if they will set a limit to their running.
And how about you, Chris? What are you going to read?
I have a tiny, tiny little piece I'd like to read called Sarcasm. "Are you going out?" my roommate asks as I head for the door in my coat and gloves. "No. I'm going to lie on the floor beside the front hall closet and wait until somebody hangs me up." This clears the top of her head like an Olympic pole vaulter. When we first moved in together, I thought she understood my sense of humor, but it didn't take long to realize that she would have better luck understanding Icelandic. I was fooled in the beginning because she laughs at everything, whether it is funny or not. The crash of 2008 had her in stitches. But she has a blind spot for my sarcasm. She is appallingly cheerful, which makes me want to prick her colorful little balloon as often as I can. "What a day," she will trill, flouncing in from the sunshine. "Why, what's wrong with it?" I know. I define the word prick as a noun, too. "It's raining out," she informs me as she meets me at Starbucks, sodden clothes dripping all over the floor, blonde ringlets and tangles, goosebumps raised everywhere by the air conditioning. Rain has been forecast all week. Damn that weather office, I say. Why can't they ever get anything wrong? Oh, you! Do you want to make love? She asks sweetly as I leer over her. No, thanks. I'm just waiting for you to leave the room so I can do it myself. What are you going to do with that knife? I ask her. Why, I'm going to surround it with you. Is that sarcasm? She smiles sweetly. You thought I couldn't appreciate it? She lunges. Is it cold in there? She asks my body as she looks down into the deep freeze. No, I reply from wherever it is I am. Not if you're a frozen pea. That was lame. I must be losing it. Maybe it's all the ice around here. I hope it's warmer wherever I end up.
And now we'll take a short break.